We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we broadcast, the Darkinjong people, and pay our respects to elders past, present, and future. You're listening to Way Underground Youth Radio. Hey Way Underground, it's CJ. Today I wanted to talk about something pretty hard-hitting. It might be hard to hear for some people, but I think it's important. If I can reach others that have also experienced this, or give a look into my world to others that can't relate, and give some understanding. Today I'm going to be talking about a segment I call Invisibility, about my experiences growing up with an invisible illness. I've been disabled and chronically ill for as long as I remember. I was the kid who couldn't keep up with the others. It was a struggle. As I grew up, my own level of energy and body changed. I was diagnosed at 13 with fibromyalgia and 16 with chronic fatigue syndrome. I remember getting sick at 13. I was also going through quite a lot of trauma at the time. This sickness just felt like a brutal virus that just never went away. I kept going back to the doctors for about 3 months, and they had no answers for me. I then remember getting this searing, bursting pain in my side and going to the hospital over and over. They wanted to call it anxiety and asked how school was going and if I had any friends, which just felt incredibly invalidating and maddening. Luckily, I had such a dedicated and determined mother. She never stopped trying to look for answers. Until finally, I was able to be seen by a private women's clinic. And like a miracle from God, she diagnosed me with fibromyalgia and gave us a lot of the answers we were searching for. Now, even though I had the answers, it wasn't a super understood or believed illness at the time, which meant I really struggled explaining to people, such as doctors, school, and friends, what I was going through. I learned to cope as much as I could and tried almost any treatment I possibly could. I missed a lot of school, which made it really hard for me to feel a part of the world. Then, at 16, I was losing even more school, barely able to get out of bed. I was the most exhausted I had ever been in my life. There were weeks where, if I were able to get out of bed at all, I would just sit in the lounge and barely be able to move. When I was able to leave the house, like to go to school, I literally looked like a walking zombie. At this point, my mum and I knew something was different, and it wasn't going away. That's when I got diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. There's still not complete understanding what causes fibromyalgia. It's said that the theories are genetics, trauma, and a virus. Well, I hit the jackpot for all three. It's like I was meant to have this experience. I used to wonder if it was given to me to do some good, such as being an advocate and help other chronically ill people like me. I never actually knew what it was like growing up in a body not like mine. I never knew what was just an experience of mine or if everyone was going through it. Even now at 20, I'm still discovering things that are a struggle for me aren't even on most able-bodied people's radar. One of the biggest examples of this was a discovery I made in school. I remember we went on this field trip to the zoo and art gallery in the city. Already, my school was hesitant on letting me come because they said I had to keep up and they couldn't look after me. I pushed myself as much as I could and successfully kept up and enjoyed my time. I remember we were paired off to walk around the zoo and I was with my friend. I said, "Okay, well, do you want to have our break now or later? I had mine recently, so I can wait until you need yours." She looked at me, so confused, and asked me what I meant. I said, "You know, like, sit down." She was like, "I don't need to." Everything just clicked. I was gobsmacked. "You mean you never have to?" She chuckled, still confused. No. It hit me so hard at that point. I was living a completely different life to people. Imagine being able to walk through life, go anywhere, do anything without having to think about how much energy and effort it would cost, and how much it will knock you down, and for how long. I have to do it every single day, about every little thing. Well, if I have a shower and get ready in the morning, that's going to take a lot of energy, so I'll have to miss out on going to the shops and just get to my appointment, get something to eat so I don't crash too hard, and then get back home. Little things like that add up. Other disabled people call it spoons. You only have so many spoonfuls of energy a day. Sometimes less on a bad day, sometimes more on a good day. Once you use those spoons, that's it. An endearing term we tend to call ourselves and other disabled people are spoonies. This is a poem my dad wrote about his struggles with chronic illness. I feel it really gives a picture on what it's like. The gravel in my bones and the sand in my joints feel like an itch that can't be reached, like pain from an amputated leg where the nerves have all been tied in a knot, and somewhere in there is an itch or an ache, agony in my foot that is no longer there. Looking at me, you'd never know how much I'm struggling on a daily basis, especially when I make an effort on my appearance. I'm a young, quite pretty girl who enjoys makeup and fashion. That's the problem. So many people make a snap judgment on my appearance. I get judgmental glares when using disabled bathrooms and seats. I get told off for sitting on the floor. Don't get me started on how they took away all the seating during COVID, when disabled people are the most vulnerable people that they were trying to protect. There's not even enough seating as there is. I've been treated as a naughty, lazy girl my whole life. It was so much worse when I was still with my mum. Very often, strangers would take it upon themselves to scold me for my mother. It doesn't even matter what your age is. If you have an invisible illness, you will always be treated this way. Once my mum, her friend, and I, who are all disabled, parked in a disabled parking spot with our permit on the dashboard. And some man got out his car and started berating us, yelling that we've taken something away from people who need it. Funny thing was, he wasn't even disabled. He told us. Even doctors who are supposed to know things and help you judge. They're the worst because they're incredibly stubborn and hold all the power over you. Their judgment is dangerous. They decide if you deserve your treatments, supports, or medication. And when they decide this on your appearance instead of your word, well, that's when you truly feel invisible. I and many other disabled people have experienced this an insane amount. I have this one story about something I've experienced that I will remember forever. I was becoming homeless, moving out of my mother's care. I had a huge day full of important things to do and was feeling very stressed. The first thing to do was go to the doctor and get a vital form signed for Centrelink. I had woken up, had a shower, and put a pretty little outfit and makeup on, so I was looking very fresh and youthful. This was the last day I'd be in my mum's care, so she had offered to take control of my first appointment for me. I tend to get very overwhelmed and have a constant throb of pain throughout my body. One of the things I do to cope is play mobile games, such as colouring, Candy Crush type of games, and puzzles. So I sat in the furthest seat and played my games while my mum took control. As he and my mum were talking, he cut her off, looked directly at me, and asked what I was doing in a very accusatory tone. I thought he thought I was recording him or something, so I showed him my phone and explained. He then started going on about my age and how rude it was that my mum was doing everything for me. At this point, I was full of adrenaline and I was absolutely sick of being treated this way. So I started standing up for myself and saying, "How dare he judge? He's a doctor. Many struggling people come to him, such as neurodivergent people, and they deserve to have understanding and their accommodations met." This whole time, he was yelling over me, not that I could hear what he was saying. After I finished, he got quiet, leaned back, clasped his hands, gave me a smug look, and said, "Then you can leave, beautiful girl." It felt like a kick in the guts and just showed exactly what he thought of me. That same day, I was waiting at a different doctor's clinic and I had crashed so bad they had to carry me in and push me in a wheelchair. Just goes to show how differently I'm treated when my struggle is visible. All that to say, I know it's normal to make many snap judgments in a day. I do it myself. It's how our brain sorts out things. But I think we should all learn to have a bit more compassion for other people and understanding and kindness. We never ever know what other people are going through, whether it be mental illness or physical illness. You'll never know from looking at someone. As cliche as the saying is, you truly can't judge a book by its cover. I missed out on so much growing up. I've been so behind my peers. I missed out on having a childhood. The hardest part about that was missing out on being a normal teenager. That's always felt like it's kept me back. Even at 20 and doing a lot better, I find it hard to keep people in my life. Something I quickly learnt growing up was that if you're not in front of somebody's face, you get forgotten. It makes it so hard to keep friends because the one thing about my illness is that I can't always be consistent. I can't always be there. In relationships I've had, they've all ended because of the gap in experiences. It doesn't matter how kind, fun, and intelligent I am, I'm always one step behind everyone. I don't know if I'll ever catch up, and as sad as that sounds, I'm okay with it. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm so much better than I ever thought I could be. There was a time when I felt so incredibly alone that all I did was get lost in fantasies of how my life could look. I still felt like it was impossible though, like I'd always have to rely on others' care and I'd never be able to do what other people were doing, like working, having stable relationships, having friendships, going out into the world and having fun. But here I am, surviving, living and loving my life. I got this job for the podcast where I feel like I'm really doing something and helping people. I just had a wonderful, stable relationship that I'll always remember fondly. I have great friends. I just moved into a home that truly feels like mine with lovely, supportive people. I'm out there in the world, living, just like everyone else. And even though it's still hard, I really, truly feel like I'm living the life I'm supposed to. All this to say, I know how hard it is. Believe me, I do. I had no magic cure. All I did was grow used to my body, learn to cope by listening to my body, knowing when to push, when to ask for help, and when to rest and wait until it passes. There was a long time where all I could do was wait for it to pass. I became suicidal, but with the love and support around me, I was able to make it out the other side. I know not everyone has such a wonderful, loving family member, such as my mum. But there are still people out there that will find you. Just reach out. There's communities for people going through the same struggles. There are friends and found family. I know it can be hard to meet them and put yourself out there. But know this, pretty much everyone feels alone. No matter the experiences someone has, everyone has some struggle. No one has had a perfect life. Just think, there's someone sitting there feeling so lonely, needing someone just like you to talk to. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope this reaches and touches some people.